Don't give up comfort for style. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look good while feeling comfortable. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
But right now, let's preview this weekend. Yeah. After previewing this weekend, they will call it a day. It's been a fun conversation so far. But yeah, so do you want to start with who's Chelsea playing this weekend?
All right, so we're playing Newcastle.
That's a big game. 7 a.m. I believe. 7:30.
I don't like it. Everyone kick off. Atlanta time, 12:30 UK time. I don't like playing early morning kickoff. It's not what I want to play. And then going to play early morning kickoff at St. James Park, knowing that they just won their game against Fulham and they lost a Premier League game. You know, there's so much incentive for this Newcastle team. They don't make it easy for you, no matter how good your form is. When you come to St. James Park, they try to tell you they're home. The fans are just rugged. The fans are, you know, I don't know, is it all these Midland guys, like, bro, is a proper, cultured, old school, tough place to go, man.
Yeah, I think it's tougher as well, because after playing so badly at home against Sunderland, I'm pretty sure you guys should expect a response.
But yeah, we will. You know, like I said, they won that game on Wednesday, mm-hmm. against Fulham, was Carabao Cup, you know. And they showed you why Newcastle is Newcastle. You understand that? You know, they're a good team. Like, we just spoke about them some minutes back. You know what to expect from them. That aggressive football. You understand? Aggressive football, wing football. And they have a 7 feet, if not 7 feet long.
Watamada.
You understand? Who is good on the air and also on the ground. Like, you understand? Like, he's tech.
You know, he was apparently known to not be good in the air in Bundesliga. But all of a sudden,
really?
He went to Premier League and still scoring heading goals.
No, I see him scoring goals on the air now. Like, you understand? Like, he's a good player. And they have a rebound. They still have Godon. They have Jan Wisa. And you know what Jan Wisa does for you? He's going to run for you. He's a very energetic, mm-hmm. athletic player, Jan Wisa. He's back. He started the game on Wednesday against Fulham. He even scored a goal for them. A typical proper Wisa goal. You understand? Like, the team is getting complete. I love that midfield. In Guimaraes, Tonali, and sometimes they play mildly with him too. With them too. So it's a very good team. They have a stable defense in Thor, Bond, Shad, Livramento, and sometimes they play Lewis Hall. You know, I don't know if Nick Pope is fit to play. I don't know, but I've been seeing Ramsdale lately keeping for them. I don't know what Nick Pope issue, but I don't like playing that team. That very aggressive team, very offensive team. You understand? Very physical team. You understand? So it's a game that if we should take as a big game, we'll win the game.
Okay, that's fair.
Because when it comes to big games, we perform well. Mm-hmm. So if it's a game that Maris said, you know what, guys, St. James Park, big game. And I believe right now the players should know that St. James Park is not a fun, fair place to go and have a good time. You know what's good at St. James Park. With Palmer being fit to play, Caicedo having a good match fitness in the week against Cardiff, mm-hmm. with James being fit to play, Enzo being fit to play. They didn't play this week against Cardiff, so they're fit and fresh to play. Cucurella is fit and fresh to play. Sanchez is fit and fresh to play. You understand? I feel like having this fit and fresh players back in for the squad is great for us. Even though I'm going to be missing Estaval, he has a slight muscular injury, you know. But apart from that, I think we have a decent team to go there and pick a good result there.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. What's your prediction?
I mean, beyond by the fact that Newcastle will not sit back, they will come out and play. They will press. They will run. Mm-hmm. If we do that, we're going to find the spaces. in my preview, actually, I think I said I said 3-1 in my preview.
3-1?
I'm scared to say the 3-1 again. Let's just say 2-1.
2-1. 2-1 Chelsea. Yeah. Okay. For that game, I expect it to be a tough game. I don't think Newcastle wants to lose. I think Newcastle make sure they don't lose that game. I think it'll either be a draw or a slight win to Newcastle. I'll be very surprised if they drop points. If they drop points, it will be in the manner of Liverpool versus Newcastle early in the season.
But the thing is, my team right now is getting in shape.
No, I know.
And because apart from the Enzo Maresca drama that he had lately,
yeah.
After the game against Cardiff, there's something, and we always see this, but I felt it small this time. You know, after the game, Maresca and the boys, they went to applaud the fans, mm-hmm. and there was this connection with the fans and the team that you can just feel like, okay, this is beautiful to see.
See, if Chelsea wins, I think that would be a huge win for them, and that would be almost like a statement win. Even though, I mean, we know that Newcastle has been a bit touchy, but despite that, their loss of Sunderland, I don't expect them to put up such a performance again. If they put up that same performance, Chelsea will destroy them. But I just
because the thing is, my team is not that bad.
No, Chelsea is very
bad. Fana and Toloba, they're keeping clean sheets now. We might soon come to clean sheets FC very soon.
Don't worry, relax.
You understand? It's just the midfield.
Relax.
And Enzo, Starboy Palmer is back.
My prediction for that game is 1-1.
Hey, after this, ask my Everton next.
See, I believe it's 1-1. I'll go with 1-1. I think Newcastle are looking a bit jaded, so I don't know if they'll have the ability to go full throttle and try to like score plenty goals against Chelsea.
And even in that game against Fulham that they played this week on Wednesday, yeah. they exerted more energy because Guimaraes played. Tonali had to come in to make the difference for them. Miley played. You understand? So that makes me stretched out during the week.
I cannot sit here and tell that I'm very sure Newcastle will beat Chelsea. Am I mad? That's why. But the fact is St. James Park. I'll give it a draw.
Then just back to the factor. But if Maresca takes it as a big game, mm-hmm. I'm going to win that game.
The problem is Newcastle always has that same underdog energy too when they play against teams. So,
And also, just to point out now, with what happened with Maresca and the board, I feel like right now every game is a big game for him because you know what? He wants to send a message to the board.
No, he will. He will.
Yeah, so it's games like this, statements result like this. He wants to send the message to the board every game now. So I think that's actually good for the club and good for the fans. We're going to see the team playing very well moving forward. You will see.
Well, we will see. For Everton, that's the game I'm a bit wary about, given that we have City just literally like right behind us and. I don't like that bad vibes. That bad vibe with City breathing down our necks. And going away to Everton, it's never always, I mean, we usually beat them, but it's never easy, especially in their stadium. And they have this Uncle Moyes back, so we are going to play how they want us to play.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to play exactly how they want us to play. People, I remember the game against Man U. I don't know why I told when they went down a man. I'm like, bro, you've literally given them the license to happily play the way they love to play.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit back and hit you on the counter and do what Moyes does best. So, of course, the game will play out that exact same way. Arsenal dominating possession, trying to break them down, and then hitting us on the counter with the pace of Ndiaye.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not looking for. I hope Calafari starts that match because I don't want to see Skelly go up against Ndiaye. That would be terrible. That would be terrible. But I think there's a lot. Arsenal has a lot to prove. Gyökeres has a lot to prove. Saka and Odegaard especially have a lot to prove. We have a lot of players right now that need to prove that. They are at the level that we need them to be in order to go for this title race. If Arsenal drops points in this fixture, that would be terrible. That'll be terrible. And I feel like they are going to play like it's a must-win game. I'll be shocked if Arsenal doesn't come out, you know, trying to score like early on in that game. And now Arsenal will come out with fire in that game. And if we don't score by the end of the first half, that's not be worried.
But now my thing with this Everton team, and what would give you guys the edge, if they'll be on the edge with this Everton team, is they are missing key players for AFCON. Mm. They're missing Idrissa Gana-Gaye, and they're missing their creative player in Ndjaye.
Oh, Ndjaye is not gonna be there.
It's as for the World Cup. Oh. But now they have now David Moyes has the. Did I say Moyes?
Okay, Grealish should be there though.
Huh?
Grealish will play. Grealish is a threat.
It's not on the left wing, but not right wing. I think now he can either play Dwight McNeil, who is a seasoned Premier League player, or he can play this boy I love, this young boy that I love so much, Tyler Dibblings.
Oh, Dibblings is a threat.
There's a chance to play those guys. So there's no... The gap there won't play much, even though I know that in what Ndiaye gives to the team is far.
Dwight
McNeil is another wonderful player too. And the team, I feel like you can put in Dwight McNeil because the team is seamlessly right now. Like I say, is in a balanced shape right now. Yeah. So I don't see any chaos if putting Dwight McNeil or Dibblings in that position. Or they can play Alcaraz there. I don't know. Maybe they want to. But my issue is on that the DM position where Gana-Gaye is leaving. Normally,
James Gana play, is not bad.
So when Gay doesn't play, they either play Gana and Jules Biot there, then they play Alcaraz as the AM. Yeah. But now that Jules Biot is injured, I don't know how they're going to play, who's going to replace Jules Biot and replace Gana. So I think those two misses might be what will just give Arsenal that edge over them. Everton team is another flexible team under a seasoned coach like David Moyes. I mean, what I saw Arsenal play against Wolves and against Aston Villa is jet lag becoming an issue with Arsenal. Are the injuries now that playing a toll on Arsenal? Well, I've literally seen it here because the game against Wolves, that was not Arsenal at their best. The game against Aston Villa,
even the Brentford, you won. We've been struggling.
You won the Bayern Brentford that you won.
No, but we are bad. And Brentford, we looked a bit tired. We didn't look.
We're no longer seeing that high press, full throttle Arsenal team that will just like come at you like that. As game is starting like this, boom, they're going in, they're going like no time to waste. We're no longer seeing that Arsenal anymore. And you're saying, but the thing about this Everton team is, if you rush them, you can get the goals. But if you let them play their football, ain't no telling, because they're a very flexible team.
Yeah.
So I don't know if David Moyes would decide to play pack the boss type, you know.
They're going to sit back and they're going to try to.
But they're playing at Goodison Park.
I know.
Is that a Goodison Park? I know they have a new stadium.
It's Goodison Park. It's Goodison Park.
That's what it's called. Goodison Park.
No. Oh, wait. They've changed it. It's a new stadium
now. So I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Everton Stadium.
That's it calling it.
But
my point is that they have a flexible style of play. You understand? They can decide to pack the bus. They can decide to, you know, come out and play with you guys. But my only fear is the absence of Idrissa Gana-Gaye due to AFCON and the absence of Jules Biot, who is having a fantastic season.
Hill Dickinson Stadium.
Okay. The absence of Jules Biot, who is having a fantastic season due to injury. And then Ndiaye also. I just feel like those three players missing will be a huge factor for Everton if they drop points in this match. Yeah, see, that's what I feel.
Arsenal will dominate possession for sure. I've been watching that fixture for years, and there's no time that we went to their home that they came out to attack us. Even when Moyes was their manager, I'm pretty sure they will sit back and play to their and use their pace and try to like hit us on the break.
This season, I've not actually seen them sit back.
They don't do that much, but again,
I've not even seen them sit back because of the quality they have going up front.
When
they have Jusby Hall and Ndiaye and Grealish, even the game against United with 10 men, did they hardly sit down?
They didn't
really sit down like that.
No, I won't say they didn't pack the bus and keep inviting pressure. They push up a little bit, try to win the ball back, but there are long stretches of United playing with the ball and them staying compact and just letting they let United play. But whenever they want the ball back, they hit them at pace. They run at them. They even when they win the ball, they don't sit back in the way of like, let's say, just no having one person forward and kicking it forward. Mm-hmm. They will sit down, they'll get the ball, they'll spread to the flanks, Drewsbury Hall will come in and take the ball, they'll run at you. They play fast attacking, they won't just keep the ball for the sake of keeping it. And they'll always retain their shape and they'll let you have possession. They can't let you have possession. But I agree with you. I've seen them in playing against other mid-table teams and they actually try to dictate.
Because they have a good team.
They do have a good team.
Missing those key players will be huge for them. I don't know how they'll balance it. I know Alcaraz will have a chance to play in the attacking midfield now.
Mm-hmm.
I know McNeil will have a chance to play in the right wing. But I don't know how David Moyes will set his team up against Arsenal. Is he going to pack the balls? Is it going to be compact? Is it going to play with counter? Is it going to play a flexible style of play like Unai Emery? Does he have the personnel counters?
I don't think Arsenal doesn't give anybody the full. Arsenal won't let you come out and like peg them unless we score. If we score, sometimes we can let you have the ball. But if it's still 0-0, it's pretty much the way we. I actually want us to move faster and create more counter attacking situations. But the way we play, we make teams counter us sometimes.
And the good thing for you guys also is Gabriel Jesus is back. That might put a bit of pressure on Gilchrist
to deliver,
to wake him up now.
Yeah,
you understand, you know. And the matter how bad you guys find a way to scrap our points, which is good for a team down or win something. So I feel like every week I speak about Arsenal every week, and it's pretty much I sound like a broken record. You know what to expect from Arsenal. A good Arsenal team will come out and play you. A good Arsenal team is good. That have a good defense. Even though they're conceding now, but regardless of that, they have a good defense. A good Arsenal team will find so many ways to score you: set piece, open play, transition. They have a bit of both, so that's very good for the Arsenal team. And like I said, the injuries is pretty much reducing. I don't know, but Gabriel is back. Even though Ben White got injured, so I think it's pretty much more of the same. Injured players are still piling up, but I think with Jesus coming back, that's good for your attack. You know, at least Gilchrist knows that, you know, now he has competition, you know, chasing him somewhat. So let's see how that pans out on Saturday, though. What's your prediction?
My prediction for that game will be 2-0 to the Arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just feel like I have to... Based on the fact that those players will not be there, they're gonna miss Ganage, Ndiaye, and Drewsbury Hall. Just based on that fact, I'm gonna give us now this one. Just based on that fact. And 2-0-2. I think I go 2-0, yeah. Mm. But if those guys were present, God knows hell now. But it was, it might still be a cagey one, though. Let's
see. I think it will be a cagey one. I don't think
it might still be a cagey one, though.
I'll be surprised if it destroys them.
It's in Everton Stadium, so it might still be a cagey one, but let's see, man. Let's see.
Yeah. Anyway, so before we wrap
up, Liverpool.
Let's talk about Liverpool, Tottenham, Liverpool. this is a game that, honestly, if I tell you I know how to predict it, I don't know. Tottenham is a very weird team. But just based on the fact they do not seem to have the ability to get results in their home, I'll let Liverpool have this one. I think Liverpool will continue their resurgence. And now, without the distraction of Mohamed Salah, I'm sorry for calling him a distraction, but I mean, he's still Salah, he's a legend. But without him there, they can just focus on the football right now. And we'll see Ekitike again, and probably Isak as well might play. Even though I'm not sure whether they will start Isak or Wirtz. I think honestly,
Isak or Wirtz.
Yeah, or Gakpo.
Is that like Kitike? I try to say Kitike.
But I know Szoboszlai usually plays on the right. Sorry, I mean Ekitike. Ekitike.
Okay.
Szoboszlai play on the right, and yeah, this guy is injured actually. This guy is injured. Their right back is injured now, so they might actually
Gomez.
Be, yeah, no. Who you say Gomez?
Gomez is injured.
He's injured. So I don't know if they'll move Szoboszlai back to right back. They might.
Oh, no. They can't. They might play this guy. What's his name? They will play Bradley there.
Okay, they play Bradley there. They'll play Szoboszlai on the right.
Yeah,
right,
there, yeah.
Then Ekitike on the in front, and maybe Gakpo, Isak, or Verts on that left.
If you ask me about the about this Tottenham Liverpool game, I'll just keep it simple and straightforward. Liverpool will win that game.
No, yeah, I think I'm happy.
They'll win because, first of all, Tottenham are consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. No, they are very consistent in not getting results in their stadium.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Consistently inconsistent. So that inconsistency in them not winning at home, they'll be consistent in that one.
Yeah.
You understand? And also, the fact that when I saw that Liverpool game against Brighton, mm-hmm. even though this might not be a factor to add, but I saw that all the fans, right, even where we actually watched the game, mm-hmm. shout out to the Brew House, great place to watch football. You guys come check it out. Mm-hmm. You know, this promo for them. I like the places. It has that energy. But you can just tell that everybody there, all the Liverpool fans there, they were literally at the same page. Salah made a mistake. We forgive him. We support the board. We support the club.
Mm-hmm.
You never walk alone on board Liverpool. They were literally all, you know what I'm saying? And all those little things do play a part somewhat. You understand?
Yeah.
And also, the one against, that's back-to-back now for them, Inter Milan and Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've been able to mediate the Salah issue somewhat. They've picked up a win now. They've had a clean sheet now, you know. And I just see that bounce back happening. And mm-hmm. I just, the way Tottenham is playing, I don't see them upsetting or disrupting the flow that Ancelotti is trying to create with the team.
Only thing though, I know Tottenham definitely need a result. And at some point, they have to get a big result at home. This might be the weekend. Who knows?
Nah, it's not this one. Trust me.
I don't expect
it. Nah, not this Tottenham. Well, nah.
I mean, that one, I guess I was trying to debate with myself who is going to be part of this coming victory for Liverpool. Is it going to be Vers having a big game or Isak finally having the big game for them? Because usually...
You know, the point about this Vers guy is this guy is a good player. He's not a bad player at all.
No, but he's been playing well. No,
like when you see him, like before the ball comes to him, you could just tell he's a player that knows what to do with the ball.
Yeah.
Understand? It's just that the price tag and then expectation of him to score the goals. That's one.
Okay, he actually played well against Brighton. So I'm going to say,
he's a good player. The good thing that Slot is doing now.
Yeah.
And him putting Salah on the bench, he has literally sent a message to the whole team that, hey, anybody can be benched. He's not even playing the Isak to start with.
Yeah, but is he going to play Isak finally?
Is Ekitike injured? I don't know. Is he injured? I think
No, he's playing. He played last game.
Did he get injured? I think he actually got injured.
Did he? I don't think he got injured. I'll be surprised. But he played in the last game.
I don't know if he finished that game that he scored two goals.
No, he didn't finish it.
He didn't finish it, but I don't know if it's due to injury. We'll have to double check.
But my question.
Injured.
My question
but
is.
My point is, even if it's injured, they'll rush it for the game tomorrow. They'll rush it for the game, don't worry. But my point is, we're seeing a slot now that is bold enough to say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I can bench any player.
Yeah, but that was a question. But like, Isak needs minutes. He needs to play, and it's hard for him to find his form.
Isak needs to play if he earns the right to play.
So you're saying
15 million.
So you're saying Isak is not going to start?
The thing is, no, my point is, and this is conversations like this that's affecting Liverpool's form and his lot.
Mm-hmm.
Isak needs to play. Why? Because I'm costing 170 million. They tried it. It didn't work. What was working was Ekitike.
Mm-hmm. No, but we saw him bench Ekitike to start Isak despite Ekitike's form before.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All because of Isak needs to play.
Yes.
Price tag. Mm-hmm. But now, and his first is no, you know what? To hell with all that. I want to win games.
Okay.
And it's Ekitike. And it's working. I want to win big. Szoboszlai, play the rights for now.
You're saying you'll continue that trend of playing Ekitike and Vert over Isak.
I feel you continue the trend to pick a good team to win game for Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to do now. Now, once the team has reached a seamless balance, on, now we can win games. Now we're no longer considering, okay, now Isak, come on in. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see that Isak now, if Isak plays, he's going to fight for his jersey. It's no longer playing because, oh, we bought 170 million. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's still because now I've earned the right to play. And that's what I have to applaud and still. I feel like if he didn't wake up from that, he'll keep losing and losing.
That's fair. But
you understand? And now he's playing Jones and Gravenberg. You know, given that I feel like it just takes... Let me see what happens in January.
Mm-hmm.
If they'll be forced to buy either Semenyo or buy a midfielder for McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have not found a good... If they have found a decent player for McAllister, will be on the bench. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
So you are seeing a manager that wants to pick up a good team now. And he's sending the right message to the team. Now that they're not just... Now they're playing with wisdom now. Mm-hmm. Now that they're being compact now. Mm-hmm. They know where to attack. They're no longer playing that free flow of, let's go Liverpool. No. Now we start to stay compact. Let's see how the game, the first 15, 20 minutes. Let's hold it down and let's try to play. Let's end the right to play, actually. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, now we're a big team. No, now there's reality. I've set it up. If you don't wake up, we'll keep considering and considering.
Okay. So what's your prediction for them?
Huh?
Oh, I said, so what's your prediction for Liverpool?
Liverpool will win the game. Both teams will score. Liverpool will win the game. They'll win the game. What's yours? You tell me yours.
I go 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1?
Yeah.
But that's a fair. That's a good result for that game, for a game like that. 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
But I go 2-0.
2-0, okay. Tottenham will not score. That's fair.
Nah, I'm not impressed with them at all. So yeah, I go 2-0.
I don't even know if we need to preview Man City versus West Ham.
Nah, bro. The fact about our City game is same old as usual. We've seen the West Ham games. They're picking from me and they're decent to me. And
they're picking from, but they're not getting results. That's the thing.
They're picking from me and they're decent to me. And but with the old guard, Pep, which might be his last season, he wants to live on a high. And that's why I feel sorry for you. You know,
3-0 Man City. That's for me that game.
Yeah, 3-0. Me too. Also,
I'll just watch it without hate watching, just to enjoy Cherokee. That's all. I'm not really.
Yeah. Me too, man. Even though I feel like the French midfielder Magasa, I like him. I like what they went through against United, but I don't see them holding the firepower. And it's gonna be at Etihad also. You know, Cherokee on form, Foden on form. The robotic alien Haaland on form, always on form. You know, everybody's literally on form now. You know, even if they will concede, but they will win you. Look at the game against Crystal Palace. They didn't play well, but they won the game easily. They didn't play well. They didn't play well at all. Mm. But that's a standard professional team. One chance, one goal. One chance, one goal. One chance, one goal. And if Haaland is scoring the goals for them, Foden and Cech is doing the business. Tijani is getting his... Is having that connection again with them. You understand? Even the, what's this guy? The guy that is deputizing for the Ballon d'Or guy. Rodri. Gonzalez.
Nico Gonzalez.
He's doing a good job too. Nunez on that right back, who is actually a midfielder, but he's actually playing as a right back. He's doing a fantastic job. You understand? Yeah. Gavidol and Diaz know what to expect. and the monster of a man in Donnarumma. You understand? So I don't see them losing that game on against West Ham.
I saw that wonderful performance.
Ryan Cherki, like you just mentioned, right now he has a 4-goal involvement in his last four appearances. That's massive. You understand? So I don't see them missing. I don't see nothing wrong happening.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if West Ham managed to do something for me.
No, not that game, guy. I don't want to be that guy, but not that game.
They think that scored
15 goals in the last 5 matches.
I don't see much changing in that game, but who knows? Stranger things have happened in football. But I don't think we need to spend that much time on City and West Ham.
No.
Villa versus Man U is an interesting one. I want Man U to win. And that comes from my heart. I hope they actually win that game.
Someone said, I think this guy in Football Fans Tribe, what was his name? Is he Harry or so? He was like, why is United in a 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th position? He said, they've not played the Bournemouth, Aston Villa. I said, okay, that's right. I don't see them winning that game against Aston Villa.
I'm predicting 2-2 for that game.
I know that's your emotion. That's not your the
point. I don't think Villa are gonna win the league. I don't think they're a threat, but I think it's a kind of game that Man U can thrive in terms of crossing Wahala. But I think Villa is a good enough team that they won't lose that game. That's why I predict 2-2. But I think Man U can.
This is a United team that the firepower in that team in the right of Mbeumo Ahmad is leaving.
Bro, I keep forgetting AFCON's factor in. That's a very good point.
It's a huge factor.
I forgot about Ndiaye.
If you notice, sorry to divert here. If you notice, when we're interviewing the guys last week, one of the guys, the Liverpool fan, said, is there a way that we could create a good window for the AFCON that doesn't affect the Premier League? And I get where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing key African footballers that are key for their teams. Liverpool will miss Salah.
Yeah. And you know, this might actually play into...
Everton will miss Ndiaye.
This might play into big clubs actually buying world-class African players. Because they'll consider that. They'll consider like these are guys
that might be missing. Because you know that every two years, December, January, you will lose points because your key, your star players are leaving.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. That with that Mbeumo and Ahmad, also without Mazarao, who has gone to for the AFCON too. So based on that, I don't see Mane performing. That's what Ahmad gives to you when he's with the ball. Even Mbeumo also. This and Ahmad that gives you nothing short of a 7-point performance every week.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I don't, and you know the way I speak about this United team, man. You are playing with your Casemiro and Fernandez again, even though Fernandez was superb in the last game against
Wolves. That's Bournemouth.
But regardless of that, you are coming against an Aston Villa team that actually feel like they're chasing for something. You are going to play against the Camara.
I changed my prediction. 3-1 Villa.
Yeah, like against the Camara, Onana, and Rogers and McGinn.
Rogers on form.
Come on now, and then they have a good bench in Buendia and you know, and Sancho and Co. I don't see them having the firepower to stand against this Unai Emery Aston Villa team. And doing Unai Emery plays a flexible manager, he can play this in games, they change the switch pattern in games. First, stress they can play the ball in ground and build from the back, they can switch to. We're going up to look for Ollie Watkins. Mm-hmm. You understand? So they have different style of play in the game.
We're talking about Villa at length earlier in the pod. So we don't need to even go in on them like that.
We don't need to.
We know they're
I think 3-0. As of now, I'm going to win the game 3-0.
Yeah, I'll let my Manu score. Manu might score 1. But yeah, 3-0, 3-1. We'll see who's right.
We'll see. Yeah.
Both of us will probably be wrong, more than likely.
Let's see how it goes.
Well, man.
That was a long one, man.
I think we'll see
again at the pub.
Yeah.
On Saturday. you know, and hopefully I'm gonna do a proper video of you during the Arsenal match.
I hope hopefully our predictions will be more right than it was last time, because last time right. We were abysmal.
right.
But yeah, man, it's been a nice pod. And
nice pod, man.
You guys look forward to our weekly pub visits, because we'll try to keep episodes like that. Where we interview guys outside the pub and different fans, and you know, watch out for that. It's coming up this weekend again. You can also check out our last interviews. They were great. We got some really nice, good content. Yeah. And yeah, it's been nice doing this. Make sure you like, subscribe to Soccer Tech to AK as well, and Five Aside, of course.
Yes.
See you guys.
Five Aside, my guy. And I was planning to bring the Liverpool guy. I'm still working on that. And stay tuned for more episodes and more takes, man. Peace out.
Yeah. All right, guys. Bless. Mm-hmm.